I'd invite you to turn with me to chapter 20 of Matthew, as we've been walking through Matthew, and look at this interesting story. I think it's a wonderful little parable of Jesus's. He speaks of the workers in the vineyard. And I just thought, as I was looking at it, something that my kids often said, "That's not fair." I don't know how many of you who've had children or maybe been around children as teachers or aunts, uncles, grandparents, whatever it is. It seems to be that they'll find, I've often thought kids are like little lawyers, and they'll find something that's not fair and then take it to court. And it's usually mom and dad or whoever is the judge at the court, right? That's not fair, and you are supposed to fix it. And of course, ultimately, you pull out the cannon and say, "Well, it's because I told you so," right? No, God doesn't do that. But all this lawyering that people pull from being a child, it seems to continue on to adulthood in some form or other. And Jesus is speaking to this sort of inclination of ours. In the 20th chapter, then, this is the story he tells. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner." It's interesting, the word that's used here, two words are here. One, it's the man of the house. We might translate it. The man of the house who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. The denarius was a typical day wage for an unskilled laborer. And so that was fair. Certainly. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. This is where people who were unskilled laborers, people who were looking for an hourly or even, no, they didn't really have hourly, so to speak, wages back then, but they would meet in the marketplace or at the gate of the town or city looking for a job. Now, does that remind you of something? How many times have we seen something almost exactly like this in our day? We often complain about the jobs that are being taken by people who are from the South, someplace in Latin America, or other across the oceans in one region or another, that they're taking away our jobs. Well, their jobs, let me tell you, that most of us wouldn't actually even work at. My son worked for a time in the Grand Canyon on the North Rim. For one of those concessions, that are in our national parks. And he said to me something that really struck me. He ended up with a girlfriend from the Philippines. My son's stories of girlfriends, I could bend your ear on forever. But anyhow, he said, "There aren't any Americans, because they don't want to do these jobs. They're all from some other place, whether it be from Latin America, or whether it be from someplace in Middle Europe, or the Philippines, as was the case of the girl that he got a crush on. This is exactly the situation that you see Jesus talking about here. These unskilled laborers who are desperate for a job of any kind. And this vineyard owner, this landowner, comes to them likely at the exact time of harvest, because it's got to be done quickly, getting those grapes in. And so he came looking for people to help with the harvest. I've got a small vineyard in Halifax, and it's small, but I was looking forward to, I pruned back the vines because it had gotten out of control and actually was causing the whole thing to fall over. And so I thought, well, if I just get the prunes at it, I can help it stay upright. And, well, what ended up happening, I almost killed it. But this year, it came back, and it had all sorts of grapes, bunches of grapes growing on it. So heavy that it was about to fall over again. But you know what happened? The birds and the insects ate them all. So I got no grape jelly that I was looking forward to out of these grapes. This is what was happening. And in Palestine in particular, and the Holy Land, if you didn't harvest those grapes at the time of their ripeness, the rainy season came in. And so they'd be ruined by the rains. So this guy really wanted laborers in the field to pick these grapes. And so as a result, he made arrangements with this first group, agreeing to pay them that denarius for a day. But then he went back at the third hour. You know, the start of the day went about at 6. The third hour would have been at 9. He went back and saw others standing there at the marketplace. And so he told them, "You also go work in my vineyard, and I'll pay you." Notice this. He doesn't make that arrangement of what he's going to pay them. He doesn't say, "I'm going to pay you a denarius." He just says, "I'll pay you whatever is right." And so they went. Again, at the sixth hour. So in other words, at 12 o'clock, he goes out. And then at the ninth hour, 3 o'clock, he goes out. Does the same thing. About the 11th hour. This is 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, only an hour left till the day is over at 6. He went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing around here all day long, all day long, doing nothing?" That's a good question. Were they infirm some way or other? What was happening with them that they weren't picked up by others? The story doesn't tell us, but here they were looking for a job and still at 5 o'clock had found nothing to do. They were looking, but no one had picked them up. "Because no one has hired us," they answered. So he says to the landowner, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages." 6 o'clock, the day's over. Beginning, though, with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour, 5 o'clock, came and each received a denarius, that full day's wage. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said. And you've made them equal to us who have been born, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So, Jesus concludes, "The last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the reading of God's holy word for us this morning. Naturally, those who were hired first were grumbling, don't you think? Isn't that what you or I would do? They bore the burden of the work and the heat of the day. It wasn't fair. It wasn't fair. And that's exactly what Jesus' point about the kingdom of heaven. Remember? He said the kingdom of heaven is like as the beginning of this story. The kingdom of heaven, God's way, is like this. And it's not fair. As we in the flesh would talk about fairness. Think about his audience a moment with me. Jesus had just spoken with that righteous. He followed the law. He followed it all the way that he could. He said, "All these things that you've mentioned, Jesus, I've done them from my birth." So he was a good man. But being rich, a rich young man, when Jesus challenged him with what was really the most meaningful to him, to go and sell your possessions and follow me. When Jesus invited him to follow him after he had sold those, remember what it says? He went away sad. That's got to be one of the saddest things in Scripture, because of the grip that his riches had on him. And his own disciples, they were dumbfounded as well. The verse 27 says, "They were greatly astonished and asked, 'Who then can be saved?'" You know, this guy was a good man. Who then, if you've got to give all away, can be saved? That's beyond our ken, our ability. And Jesus said, because he realized that that is the absolute truth. What with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Peter even said to Jesus in his astonishment, Jesus, we've left everything to follow you. What's going to happen to us? And even cast it in terms of like, what kind of reward will we get? Peter missed the point, didn't he? The normal Jewish expectation, and don't you have to think it's the expectation of the rest of the world as well then as now, is that the more done, the greater the reward. Right? But Jesus' story warns us that God's sense of fairness is not our sense of fairness at all. For God, how does the great hymn go? I love this hymn. It's grace, grace, God's grace. From first to last, that's what it is. We can't earn it. There's nothing of self-righteousness that can attain it for us. William Barclay says, all God gives is of grace. We cannot earn what God gives us. We cannot deserve it. What God gives us is given out of the goodness of His heart. What God gives is not pay, but a gift. It's not a reward, but grace. Just as there were those among the Jewish believers who relied on their own righteousness because of how hard and how long they had labored, how well they had adhered to the law, bearing the burden of the work and the heat of the day, so there were disciples, Christians, then and now, don't you think? Who think the same. Barclay also remarks something that can mean about something that can mean the death of a church. There are people, he said, who think that because they've been members of a church for a long time, the church practically belongs to them. And they can dictate its policy. Such people resent what seems to them the intrusion of new blood or the rise of a new generation with different plans, different ways. Now, of course, the Scripture speaks to every situation and generation, doesn't it? But there have always been the differences from generation to generation. One of the geniuses of the Catholic Church has been that they've allowed for what they call the orders to arise within it. United Methodist Women began as an order for missions. We had deaconesses as another order. Barclay said These people who think the church belongs to them resent what seems the intrusion of new blood. But in the Christian church, seniority does not necessarily mean honor. God's valuation, brothers and sisters, is entirely, exclusively based upon how our labors align with our love for Him, His kingdom, His people. Remember the question, who is my neighbor? All are His people. And so my people. Think about how much we treasure those simple drawings and cards that our children have given us. You know? How many of you still have on your refrigerator something from maybe years ago? My grandson, my middle grandson of my daughter, that's too complex for you to figure out. Anyhow, he had been given a thing in school to fill out, but one of the things was the question, why he loves his pawpaw. He said, I love my pawpaw because he makes me giggle when he tickles me. And I love that. And so I think for, it's well over 7 years I've had that on the refrigerator. One of the things I carry in my wallet, carried it for years, is until really it fell apart, was something I wrote down that my youngest son said to me, you know, I don't know about you, but do you have a child who's always been your problem child? Well, this son of mine, I must say, it really gave us a run for our money. But one time, I don't know what we were doing, wrestling or something. And he said to me in a quiet moment afterward, I love you, Dad. And I was like taken aback by this where it came from. And he said, I asked him why. And he said, I love you because you make me feel good. You know, this is God. Why God sent His Son. And what He's talking about here, His mercy and grace is open to even the one who only worked an hour. I'd say so far as even the one who works just a moment. Who realizes at the last breath, I love you, Father, because you make me feel good. That's got to be pretty close to the heart of this story. Close to the heart of what the kingdom of God is like. God doesn't count the hours of our labor. He looks at the love with which it's given. Let's stand and join together in singing because we love the Lord.